Yeah. No, it is. Okay, we're in Proverbs, words that relate to children and their parents. Talking about the listening part. Thank you. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. Chapter 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It's something that is to go with you the rest of your life, what your parents teach you. You maybe add to that as you learn. But my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. There's things that your parents will teach you that will keep you safe, healthy, and blessed. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commands within you. I've highlighted those two, Proverbs 4 and 20 through 21, and then Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. Hear instruction and be wise. The idea is that your parents are giving you a foundational wisdom. You might add to that. It might change some, but it's intended to set your course for life, not just until you decide you leave home or something. A fool despises his father's instruction. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? It doesn't say a spiritual father's instruction of a father that only goes to church and never loses his temper. You know, it doesn't give qualifications that way. Oh, I thought you were waving. Hi. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. You know, that kind of seems like every one of us will be rebuked. So we should listen to those rebukes. So you can listen. Hear, my son, and be wise. A guide to your heart in the way. Okay, it's what the Word of God teaches is intended to guide you. Listen to your Father who begot you. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. So all of those are there. The others are not directly related for today. You may hear from them again, but that's just an extra study for your benefit, and you can review that. That might be something you might read through at home this week. So we've talked about listen. Page 2 there is obey. How do you honor your parents? You listen with the intent of learning and obeying. And then number 2 is obey by itself. Deuteronomy 21 indicates the idea of if a son is perpetually rebellious, it seems to be an older son that's old enough to not listen to parents. In the Old Testament, the parents were required to take them out and have the city stone them. So remember what we said about the first three human commands of the Ten Commandments? What were they all? Including murder and adultery. They were all capital offenses. They were all punishable by death. Dishonoring your parents could bring you the death penalty, amazingly. And again, would we say that should be for today? We don't understand that to be for today. But we do understand that the Bible, God emphasized how important it was by this requirement in the Old Testament to honor your parents. It was considered a capital offense to continue to dishonor your parents. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt, you know, lightly. I'm just ignoring you. It doesn't matter what you say. Folks, that doesn't mean that at times we will not disagree with our parents as we get older and out on our own, but we should seriously and weightily consider what they say and then explain to them why we're changing so that we can understand. Okay, otherwise I believe we're treating them lightly. Deuteronomy 33, who says of his father and mother, I've not seen them? I don't, you know, they're not around. What they say doesn't matter. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. It seems that the death penalty is still there, doesn't it? Huh? I saw something else last night. And I'm like, wow, this it's still very important. I'll show you something else inside. Ezekiel 22:7. In you they have made light of father and mother. And again, what does the word honor mean? The honor means to give weight to. oh, my dad's talking, listen to him. My mom's talking, listen to them. My mom said this about this, listen to them. My dad says this, listen to them. Treat them lightly in the midst of the oppressive stranger. It's a foundational ignoring. It's a departure of the faith, ultimately. Micah 7:6, for son dishonors father, and daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Doesn't this sound like they're older, they're married? Huh? You have to be that way. It's talking about adult children here. And we think children obey your parents. That has to do with little kids. It's like, no, that's the training ground for learning to obey your parents. But life is where you live it out. Ephesians 6:1 again, we're commanded, but children is not little kids, I don't believe. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. There's no adult children reference in the church. Okay, there's no teen or adult address. You're a child always. And we're not talking about age. We're talking about you're the son or daughter of your parents, and therefore you're a child, and you will always be their child. And therefore you owe them honor. And the Bible doesn't give a condition. It doesn't say honor them if you like them, if you like what they say, if you like what they do, if they're perfect in every way. It doesn't say that. There's examples. Oh, let me... I just thought it's in your notes, but I didn't categorize them yet because it's something else I'd cover later. We go to the very last page, the last two verses. I want you to turn to Romans 1 real quick, will you? It says, say, oh, the Old Testament, you know, what are you going to do, stone me? Okay, well, turn to Romans 1. I don't believe we stone people today. By the way, that was also their political law as well as their religious law. Understand that? In the Old Testament? So the religious and political law were together. But Romans chapter 1, let me ask you if it's still a death penalty situation to dishonor your parents. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to, for some reason I can't get to Romans. There it is. I just saw this last night because I was looking at the broader context in Greek. You don't have to know Greek to do this because it has nothing to do with it. But look at chapter 1, and notice here, verse 28, this is toward the end of when God lets people go. Okay, you want to disobey me? I'll let you disobey me. And this is what happens when people disobey. They keep going farther and farther away from God. Notice what, two things. Notice the penalty for the, all of these, and notice what disobedience to parents is listed among in the sins. Verse 28, and even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, these are people that do not listen to God, do not care about what God says. God gave them over to a debased mind, a mind that does not think properly, that mind that thinks in an evil fashion, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of all of these things too, not just one, but it lumps them all in, even undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. They're worthy of death. How much has changed from the Old Testament? At least the ultimate punishment for all of these sins, including disobedience to parents, is still death. The wages of sin is what? Yeah. Hasn't changed, really, has it? The Bible says that all liars will be cast in the lake of fire. You don't have to be a murderer to be cast in the lake of fire, right? Every sin is eternal death. Jesus Christ paid for them all. That's how my lies are covered, right? But it still runs a lie. Okay? And the other one too, 2 Timothy 3:2, for men will, this is in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. It goes on to say that. Okay? That is characteristic of what it means to be ungodly and away from God is not to honor your parents. So if you're not honoring your parents, you can say that categorically that you're not walking with God. And that's true across the board, and God has not changed his mind from the Ten Commandments onward, right? In fact, we said that it even established in the Garden of Eden. God commanded Adam about the tree. His wife wasn't created yet. His children weren't present yet. So therefore, the implication is that he's responsible to teach and to be authority over his family with regard to that command. Okay? All right. Examples of obedience. We're on page 2 now. It's not numbered, but it's the second page in your list. Jacob versus Esau. It's interesting that God seemed to indicate throughout Scripture that the parents have a lot to say about who you marry. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go out and marry someone that you want. It just means that you shouldn't without your parents' blessing. Jacob did what he was told. He was an adult, and he went and did what his parents told him to do. Go find a wife from our people. Esau found that his parents didn't want it and did just the opposite. And went and married two women that he knew his parents would not disapprove. Did he have the right to do that? Or the ability to do that? Yeah. Was he right in doing that? Absolutely not. Okay, and it's very evident of that. It shows that. He was rebellious. He was dishonoring to his parents. How about Jesus? You ever think about Jesus as an example of someone who honored his parents? Look at this. Luke 2:51. He went down with them, that's his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. How would you like to be perfect? Maybe you think you are. I have no misgivings about myself. But how would you like to be perfect and have parents that are not? Think Joseph ever lost his temper? How about Mary? Now, she had more kids that were not sinless. Help me out here. At least 3 brothers and 2 sisters, Jesus said, that are half-brothers, the true children of Joseph and Mary. The Bible gives the names of the brothers and his sisters, so we know he had at least 2 sisters because it's plural. He could have had 15. Think it was a good day every day for Mary? Joseph? But he was subject to them. Isn't it interesting? Jesus himself was subject to his parents. He was subject to Pilate, who wrongly allowed him to be sacrificed, if you will, on the cross. Jesus was subject to his heavenly Father. What is unchristian about yielding to authority, people? Even to authorities, all of which are imperfect except God himself. And yet God says you yield to those authorities, whether it's your parents, whether it's your husband, whether it's your boss, whether it's your pastor. We pride ourselves in having imperfect pastors here. That's supposed to be a joke, but Elizabeth laughed. I appreciate that, Liz. Thank you. It's like, oh, if you only do. It's like, but all are true, right? Again, submitting to authority is not submitting to perfect people. It's submitting to imperfect people. And God set the pattern through Jesus even. He submitted to his own parents. And his siblings didn't really like him. And we find that out as an adult. Remember, they thought he had lost his mind. And they eventually believed on him. At least some of them did. Jude. Actually, his name is Jacob. His brother. And also, what's the other brother? James. At least 2 of them believed. And his mom, apparently, at least. Joseph, I think, probably believed because of the whole situation. But Jesus is the example of yielding to authorities that are imperfect. Obeying his parents. How would you like that? You just know that they're wrong, but you'd have to do it anyway. There's a better way. Would Jesus always know a better way? I would think so. It's like, okay, whatever. He wouldn't say whatever, but he understood that they're my authority, and so therefore I'm going to do what they tell me, even though, you know what? Dad, we don't need to build this bench. I could just say bench. You know, whatever. Wouldn't it be a little bit stressful having a perfect child and knowing he's perfect? Knowing he's God himself? God in the flesh? Oh, I got mad again. Bummer. Right. No, it would be, yeah. No, it'd be a tough, It's not for row to hoe, so to speak. So, okay, now let's go to the new ones now, the ones we haven't covered. And again, this is pretty much the same thing what you got, the handout before. I just categorized them better than what you had. So the third one is to treat with kindness and respect. How do I honor my parents? I listen to them with the intent of learning and obeying. Number two, I do what they tell me to do. That's obey. Number three, I treat them with kindness and respect. Now, I had them subcategorized, but there's a physical respect. Exodus 21:15, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. How many times do you have to hit your parent in the Old Testament to be put to death? It just wasn't something you did. And God made this up. Parents didn't. You know how many parents want to put their kids to death? Not many. They want their kids to succeed and grow and do right, right? I've never met anybody, unless they're high on drugs or something, that would want their children to be put to death. This is God's standard. Physical kindness. There's a physical respect there. You don't touch your parents. Remember I told you, there's two guys that I gave an example, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Young men that I kind of grew up with, they went to my church, to a church that I was growing up in. They both died early deaths. One head-on collision, he fell asleep on I-35, just north Ankeny. Head-on collision, it killed him. His brother wrapped his car around a telephone pole and burned to death. And I mean, both are direct results of them. They used to beat up their dad. And you know what? God doesn't lie. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know what my dad did, but I never considered that myself. And I thank the Lord. I don't know if it was because I got spanked or whatever, but I never considered retaliating against my dad. And I would hear other people that do that. It's like, I couldn't contemplate that. Because you know what? My dad didn't always make the best decision, right? He's a very good dad. I love him to this day. And he did very right by me compared to how his dad raised him. But you know what? I knew everything he did, he meant because he wanted to do right. Even if he got mad and lost his temper or something, you know what? He was mad at me because I wasn't doing right. Which is for my benefit. Okay? But I just praise the Lord for that. That striking your father or mother, that was a death penalty act in and of itself. You didn't have to kill anyone. You didn't have to do anything. All you had to do was hit your parents. One or the other, and you were dead. From God's standpoint, you were to be put to death. How about this? He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Not even hitting. Now, curse, we might think curse in different ways. Is it swearing per se? I think curse is a little stronger. It's like condemning them, maybe damning them or something might be considered a curse. But that is considered a death penalty. Isn't that amazing how God elevates what it means to honor your father and mother? Now, maybe there's some of us here, I don't recall ever doing it myself. I think I would be dead if I had. But if I, cursed my parents that way. But you know what? That's what's gracious about God. You know what I mean? If we've done this in the Old Testament, we would have been dead people. But out of God's graciousness, we can get forgiveness. But we certainly should get right with our parents if we still have that opportunity. For either, hitting their parents or cursing them or whatever, I think we should make amends and seek forgiveness. Leviticus 20, by the way, these are both positive and negative. Everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. It says it twice here. He has cursed his father or mother. And that's all. It didn't say, what if they're bad parents? It doesn't matter. Parents are parents, and you are commanded by God to honor them regardless of their conduct. Whosoever curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in deep darkness. Again, a reference to death. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. That possibly might be with regards to old age, chasing them away when they're needing your assistance. Whoever robs his father and mother and says it's no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer, stealing from your parents. There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. So those are all negative in that way, but it tells you, it should be the opposite. By the way, if you go to the last page again, I know this isn't a direct reference to parents, but I knew this verse existed. I just had a hard time finding it. But notice Leviticus 19:32. My, how far we've come. In our day, kids are supreme. They're the ones that rule the roost, and the parents serve them in every way, shape, or form. That is absolutely unbiblical. Parents are to be honored. The kids are to yield to their parents until they are old enough to do stuff on their own, but even then they should do so in honor of that. But notice what it says here, even for older people. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. Isn't it interesting that respect for old people is tied into fear of God? Now, Annie's nodding her head. Is it a little different in the Philippines even as far as normal culture? Taking care, but also respect for older people just in general. I remember, what was his name? His parents were missionaries in Vietnam. Devar and his Hans. But Hans, I remember one of the times we were out here and Hans was telling us I think it was an evening service at the time. We still had a Sunday evening service. But he said there's 27 ways to greet people in Vietnamese. And it, a lot depends upon the age of their supposed age of their parents. I mean, it's all built on respect and honor, the whole culture. And I told you there was a Evangelical Baptist mission. I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to make films, evangelistic films, and they make them in the United States and they export them all over the world so people could get saved. The problem is, like, when they sent them to the Philippines or Japan, the people were so distraught because the kids didn't stand up when the parents walked in the room. It just, they couldn't watch the film. They were like, how can they be so disrespectful? But I believe the whole concept of respecting older people has been lost in our culture too, and I believe to our detriment. We think old people don't know anything. Listen to kids. They have nothing to learn from older people, whether the older people are 20 or 40 or 140. Mark. Right. They didn't have to know you. But that's the idea here. Here's someone that's a gray-headed or white-headed. That should draw our attention and say, oh, there's an older person present. And we should defer to them. Okay? And that's what God thinks. And yet, we've grown up in a culture that my three favorite people are me, myself, and I. Right? And everyone's there to serve me. And the Bible says it's absolutely wrong. Your parents are to be honored. And old people, the elderly, are to be honored. And it doesn't even qualify it. If someone walks in the room, you should stand up. Isn't that phenomenal? In our Western culture, it's like you walk into a group of kids and they don't even look at you. Or they scorn you or whatever. And I tell you what, we're at the end of a culture when there's no respect for the elderly or authority. We're at the end of the United States of America, end of Western culture as we know it, because there is no infrastructure that holds it together but yielding to authority, submitting to authorities.
That's the way it is right now. There's no respect up there.
Right. I'm going to jump out on a limb too. But let me tell you, and this is not a political statement at this point. I have my political misgivings and all that. But President Obama, because of his age, if people understood this correctly, would never have become president because of his age. Because of the understanding that the Bible gives to people that have been around longer. It has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican stuff. I'm not talking that way at all. I disagree with a lot of what President Obama believes and pushes, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with his age and inexperience and inability to make wise decisions because of his age. He's like a year older than I am or something like that. There's so much to learn before you can lead that way. But people misunderstand that. They have no respect and they think, well, I'm a person, and so therefore I'm equal with you. It's like, it has nothing to do with equality. It has to do with inexperience. It has to do with wisdom that you gain that only comes over time. Okay? But when people, a curse in the Old Testament, I know it sounds anti-female, but I believe that the Bible teaches that men are to lead at every level of society, including government. But the curse was you will be led by children and women. And children isn't necessarily six-year-olds, but it might be a 40-year-old. I remember President Clinton surrounded himself with people that were 30 and 20 years old. That's chaos in the making. Remember, Rehoboam had all of his advisors of Solomon, his father, and they advised him in a right way to reduce taxes, if you will. That's what it was. The idea of, you know, you're requiring us to give you money, and his younger buddy said that he grew up with said, "Oh, I mean, you tell him that you think my dad was tough. I'm going to be twice as tough as you." He followed his young advisors that didn't have experience or understanding, and it destroyed his kingdom in a day. Okay. Anyway, the idea of listening or treating with respect. The next page, I think it's third page there. Moral respect. Now this is a little different. Not something you think of, but notice here, Leviticus 18 says, "The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother you shall not uncover. She is your mother, you shall not uncover her nakedness." Now, some people take that as just face value, don't see your parents naked. I believe that that at least is part of that, because it's there, but it could also mean the idea of like sexual intercourse or whatever too. But at the very least, it's a moral respect. Leviticus 18:9, "The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, the nakedness you shall not uncover." And notice, it goes in, regardless of whether Leviticus 18 talks about marrying somebody that's your sister, that had to be earlier on. But it ties in to the fact that it's because they're related to your parents. It's kind of incestuous at this point when the law is brought out. "The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness." It's interesting, but the whole idea of incestuous stuff is tied into respect for your parent. I don't fully understand it. It's kind of new to me in this study. I haven't really kind of been able to sort it out. But they were to be put to death because of it. "The daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire." If a man was a priest and his daughter was immoral, she was to be put to death. I don't know if it was just the priest, but at least the priest, because of her immorality. Playing the harlot doesn't necessarily mean becoming a prostitute, just becoming immoral. Deuteronomy 27, "Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother." So moral respect, it's emphasized in the Old Testament law, but at the very least, you have to understand that God expects moral respect. Who in the Old Testament got in trouble, apparently, for seeing the nakedness of his father? Ham. Remember, right after the flood? And that's why I'm not so sure this isn't just talking about nakedness originally in Leviticus 18. Ham was cursed. Noah uncovered the nakedness of his father. And notice, if you look in that text, it says, I think it's Genesis 9, the brothers go in backwards and cover their father. How's that for? Noah was drunk. There's discussion about that too, but it's very likely that there wasn't such thing as fermentation before the flood. I think we've thrown that out some, so grapes didn't spoil. There wasn't any fermentation because of the air pressure, because of the ultraviolet light and all that, the changes that the flood brought. So he's never castigated for being drunk. It's wrong to be drunk, but it's like he did it without knowing. So there he's drunk, and his son comes in and mocks his father when he's naked. He's naked in his tent. It's not his tent. It's not his bedroom, so to speak. The brothers come in and cover him. They come in backwards. And Noah curses Ham's son, apparently. But maybe was involved with it somehow. But there's moral respect. Respect your parents morally. Okay? And that might even carry over into being moral yourself. Okay? Morality it's tied in, just like it says, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father. Understand that your moral choices impact your parents, and therefore God will hold you accountable. Notice it didn't put to death the father. It put to death the daughter. Care for them in their old age is number five, something that people probably forget. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home. This is 1 Timothy 5:4. And to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Anyone here understand that you have a debt to your parents? The Bible says you need to repay your parents. Honoring your parents is tied into caring for them in their old age. It extends to their death. We'll talk about that more. Maybe we'll get into it next week. I'm going to read Matthew 15. Mark 7 is similar. But notice this. It says here, Matthew 15, 1 through 9, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress, and underline this, the tradition of the elders. When we say tradition, we're not saying, oh, some of us have Christmas trees or we always make birthday cakes at our house. Tradition was considered something that people were obligated to do. Okay? They were obligated to do. So it's heavier than that. It's what people were expected. It was taught as truth and expected to be kept. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, should we wash hands when we eat bread? Yeah, but the Pharisees saw it as a spiritual ritual. And they had set it up, so you have to wash your hands or you're unspiritual. And we would say, no, you have to wash your hands or you're dirty. You're unclean, but you can still... Boy, in the army, we'd all been unspiritual. He answered and said, because we couldn't always wash our hands, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Notice he says, underline commandment of God. Traditions of elders versus the commandment of God. You might want to put a square around commandment of God, like a rectangle. For notice, verse 4, for God commanded, saying, you got to get this, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. Now, we just read those in the Old Testament, right? Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, honor your father and mother. If you curse father and mother, let him be put to death. That's what God commanded. And he says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he, the one who says this, need not honor his father and mother. Now listen, before we go, what it's saying is, whatever they might profit is a gift to God. And what they were doing is, I have money, I've built up some income, I have some savings, and my parents can be helped by my savings, by my money. But, guess what? The Pharisees figured out a way to get by with it, with their tradition. They said, well, see this bank account, which I'm in charge of, I'm in control of? I've dedicated it to God, Mom and Dad. So I can't help you because it's God's money. And Jesus goes on to say, because they've done this, the person who says that it's dedicated to God doesn't have to honor his parents. Therefore, he says, you've made the commandment of God of no effect. They found a workaround, a loophole. They thought it was a loophole. Jesus didn't think it was a loophole. Thus, you've made the commandment of God, you might want to write a box or anything, of no effect by your tradition. Now, understand, Jesus has shown me, you know what? Your traditions are nothing. It's what God commanded that makes a difference. And it's not how you redefine what you call truth. It's what the truth is that is the truth. And we have a total redefining of truth today. Oh, that's what your view is. Well, what is the view? The Bible says, honor your parents. That's a command. Okay? Now notice here, hypocrites, Jesus said. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me. It's empty worship, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And the commandments of men is equal to the traditions of the elders. What did God, the Son, indicate? That it was still part of honoring parents to care for them in your old age, in their old age, by your money. 1 Timothy 5:4 brought that up, to repay your parents. But that'll cost me money, time, and effort. Yes, that's called honor. When you take care of your parents, what do? We send them downriver. And now I'm not saying there's never a time to send them to put your parents in a nursing home, but don't you forget them there. If they need 24-hour care, don't you forget that they're there and they're still your parents. And if maybe they have Alzheimer's, but you still love them and care for them, even though they don't know your name. Why? Because they're your parents. Here's 1 Timothy 5:4. It looks like I listed it twice, but I put another one too. If anyone, any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. The idea of taking care of them in their old age. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied what? The faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. The Bible says if you don't care for your parents when you're old, you have denied the faith. How's that for a pretty bold statement? And by the way, this seems to be in the New Testament. Help me out here. Does it still seem like the honor your parents thing is still in force? That God expects it, even in 1 Timothy 5, it's still expected to do that, or you're an unbeliever. But times are tough, so what? It doesn't say care for your parents unless money's tight. Anyone here money not tight, by the way? Yeah, just checking. Anyone could use more if you had it? Yeah, if you got extra, just shovel it my way. I'll find something to do with it. Look in the side margin here. This is one that is largely ignored today. It is a very good principle to bring out in the classes. I wrote this for the teachers too, so some of this might not make sense. This involves time. Does it take time to care for your parents in old age? Yes. Effort? Yes. Sacrifice? Yes. Planning? Yes. Money? Yes. Will you not be able to do all the things you want to do? Yes. You will not be able to? Will be able to do all the things you want to do? No, you won't be able to. Why? Because you're honoring your parents. David cared for his parents in his old age. Notice when he was fleeing from Saul, he still cared for the safety and protection of his parents. It wasn't just me, myself, and I. It was he and my parents. Several times he did that. Questions on that one? Yeah, Jeannie. Our culture is, what if our parents don't want our help? That's our culture. In fact, it's a sign of weakness or giving in if you let your kids help you. I know my in-laws are kind of struggling with that right now because we think it's probably a good time before they're unhealthy or before one of them dies to move in with us. And that they first suggested it. We've always thought of that because they, believe it or not, they honored all their parents. They cared for their parents. My mother-in-law's father was in their home. He had prostate cancer. He was there to almost the end. My mother-in-law's mom was that way. We moved in with Jane's grandmother to care for her in Adel. That's when Nathan was born, actually. Care for her in her home in Adel. And my father-in-law's father had to be in a nursing home because he needed 24-hour care. He didn't have his mind fully, but they went and visited him weekly. Just right, he was there, and they were there for him. And to me, they have the great example. But to me, it'd be good to, why not let your kids enjoy the grandparents while they have their health? And the transition would be easier. You know, when you're old and haven't been used to that, it's different. But yeah, no, and some people are like that, but you can still honor your parents and help them, maybe even financially or whatever, stuff like that, as much as you can. That doesn't mean you have a lot of money to do that with.
But I think that's part of honoring your parents, too, when they are not ready to go someplace, because I've seen cases where it's not honoring the parents, it's for the child, so they can go in and flash and fashion away in a nursing home.
Absolutely. No, absolutely not. In fact, I'm one that I would have my parents move in with me. I mean, that's completely different. But again, our culture, oh, I don't want to be around little kids anymore, right? Well, why were we ever away from little kids and stuff? The Bible talks about the grandparents influencing their grandchildren. How can that happen if you're never around them, kind of thing, you know? But again, we don't force our parents, but take care of them the way you can. And again, I agree, a lot of people stash and run. And a lot of times it's so they can get their parents' money. I know that sounds funny, but throw in nursing home so we can sell your house. Take your car. You know, so and that's totally dishonoring to them. So right. And it's hard. The Amish did something that everybody had been around Amish country, lived near Washington, Iowa. Kelowna is just north of there and all, but you would see a big house and a little house built next to it. So because it's harder with little kids when you're older, the noise or whatever, but it was close enough, whether it's a different section of the house or something, so you still have to consider that as well too. So, you know, it's not, you have to understand that they aren't young and it's a little harder. That too, so you have to take that into consideration as well. So. Yeah, for us, we've decided as long as our parents will allow us, we'll take care of them at home as long as we can with us. And we've always said that. That to us, that's just part of being kids, unless it's, you know, a special circumstance for the Alzheimer's or something, they need 24-hour, they need to be watched even for their own safety. But even then, that's part of being children. Guess what? How many dirty diapers did they change yours? I remember when Esther was a little baby. Esther's my oldest. I remember I had time, not a baby, but she was little, and I had an electric razor, and I said she would sometimes shave me with this razor. I'd let her do it. I didn't really need to shave. So you gonna shave Daddy when he's old and can't shave himself? You know, it's like, yeah, that idea. You know, that's the idea. You gonna take care of me when I'm old? And that's part of it. That's part of being a kid, a child, a children honors your parents. And Jesus didn't think that was just little kids in the house. He understood that to mean all of your life. Okay, Marv. Right. Right, exactly. So he changed his lifestyle there. Yep. So again, that's a huge part of honoring your parents, old age. And again, our culture is completely different. You know, you see the bumper sticker, I'm spending my kids' inheritance and all that. I don't think that's right either. So there's other reasons for that. But turn to the last page. We're only going to look at the top part. We're pretty much over with. And this is one that the kids weren't going to get in their class. But honor them in death. Remember, to death, honor them through their entire life. But also in the Old Testament, you've seen the inference anyway. They didn't have funeral homes and all that, but it was defiling to be around a dead body for a priest. But even when they were priests, they were allowed to prepare their parents in death, to prepare their bodies. Now, in our culture, that kind of grosses us out. Okay? In that day, there was nothing there to care for them. But understand, you even honor them in their death, in their burial, if you will, in the process of how they're cared for, even in their death. A respectful funeral, respectful things like that as well. So, but that's just kind of an appendix that I saw that was repeated over and over. But it's not even until death, but even at death, you care for your parents in that way. So. Questions or comments? I'll have to look it up for you. It's at least twice in the Bible, and it's one in the prophets, but I'll find it for you. Judy, go ahead. What you say about them? The cursing idea, you could probably add something about how you, in fact, if you have the notes from last week that I told you you can get rid of now, I put on the last page, I'm going to have that, I'm not finding it. That, it's a little quote right here. This is a little poem I put together. You could say the numbers, but carefully listen to what they say, diligently do, that's listen, right? Diligently do what you are told, that's obedience. Respectfully speak to and about them. And when you speak lightly about your parents, that isn't just to them, it's about them. So you should never talk about the old bag or, you know, the old man or whatever like that. You talk about your parents in respectful words, okay? And then care for them when they grow old. So that kind of is a summary right there and a little bit of a poem form. Carefully listen to what they say. Diligently do what you are told. Respectfully speak to and about them. Care for them when they grow old. So it doesn't bring up the moral part, you know, some of the others, but it's a good summary. All right? But to and about your parents. You talk about them rightly. Remember, if you show contempt for your parents, you're guilty of death. I mean, it's not, you have imperfect parents too? Hey, join the world. You know, welcome to society. That's nothing to do. That's great. Isn't it glad? Aren't you glad God gave you parents? And some of us were raised under godly influence. My dad and mom made sure we made it to church every week and made sure I got a spanking when I wasn't acting right in church. So at church, I associated with spankings for a while. Not because I got them there, but I got them at home when I got I was naughty all the time, you know, for a while. But God helped change my life because of my parents. So, anyway, next week, I think, Lord willing, we'll talk about how long does honoring last. We've talked about it before, but we're gonna address that to some degree or another, okay? Did anyone look up the word adult? Did you? The word adult in the Bible, a lot of people have this idea, when I become an adult, I'm no longer responsible to my parents. Well, look up adult in the Bible, and I'll just give you, I looked at 6 different translations, literal translations, the King James, the New King James, the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, the Holman Classic Bible, whatever. It does not show up. The closest thing you get is adultery. But there's the concept of adult, like growing up until you're no longer responsible to and for your parents, is foreign to Scripture. That is Western culture, and it's a lie from the devil. It breaks down family structure. It breaks down authority structure and all that. And it's impacted our entire civilization. So, but you can look it up anyway. Check my words. Yeah. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your truth. Help us to learn and live by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.